Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here, talk to you a little bit about what's going on in collaborative infrastructure, particularly the Northwest ADDIE that has been going on here. It'll be clear in a minute as to why we're here together. The idea of collaborative infrastructure has been gaining some momentum over the last 3 or 4 years. Indianapolis and Denver started some years ago, about 2 or 3 years ago, beginning to look at joint master control. New York City has been looking at a joint master control between the three stations there and is in the final design stages. Philadelphia is beginning to look at it. The Northwest ADDIE is what we're going to talk about today. There are some stations in the Central Valley of California that have been looking at it. We understand New England has been looking at it, as well as South Dakota, North Dakota, and Nebraska have been exploring some of those. And we're getting growing interest in this question as we go along. I'm going to try to get through the presentation fairly quickly today, because we know there's probably a lot of questions that people would have about exactly how this would work. So we want to leave enough time for questions from you. So as we go through this, please think about those things. The way to look at this, why we're doing a tag team presentation here, is Tom is going to be primarily the systems integrator on the technical side. My role in this project is primarily the systems integrator on the business side. So we're going to be talking about a lot of technical issues, and then we'll get into some of the business issues after that in a few minutes. So I'm going to turn it over to Tom, and he's going to sort of give you the technical side of the equation, and we'll come back and talk about what some of the important business issues are that stations face that are trying to do one of these projects. So, Tom?
Okay, there's a number of things that are outlined on this screen here, and I think I'm going to just go through and basically describe what ADDIE is, who's involved in it right now, and kind of where we are with the design. I guess maybe I should back up just a little bit. A couple of months ago at one of the engineering meetings, we decided that we needed to meet here, the core engineering partners at NAB, and cooperatively take a look at some of the hardware and systems that might be available to us in our design efforts here. And so in doing so, I had suggested to Dennis Harsager, who I know is the daddy of ADDIE, that that he invite a few people to attend the meeting that we were going to have down in Las Vegas. But I never really anticipated that he knew this many and that it would grow into this kind of a gathering. But anyway, what is ADDIE? What does it stand for? It's the Advanced Digital Distribution Entity. And what does ADDIE do? ADDIE is going to attempt to provide an all-digital distribution environment. So there you see we've already got two ADDIEs, so making a few more shouldn't be that tough. The group of stations that we're working with consists of all of the PBS stations right now in the Pacific Northwest, including Montana, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington. There's some talk about possibly including some others, and we'll just take them as they come here. The participating stations right now, and I don't know how good you can see that, how well. We've got KCTS in Seattle, and their affiliate station in Yakima. KBTC in Tacoma. They're in a overlap situation. They're sharing some traffic programming operations right now. And there was also some talk about jointly programming an additional station in Bellingham, Washington, which is in the northern Puget Sound area. So that formed kind of a logical group already, and that was somewhat underway. So that seems to make sense. Down in Oregon, we've got Oregon Public Broadcasting. They've got their five stations in five different cities in the state. Also, there is Southern Oregon Public Television. They're serving two different cities with two transmitters. Presently, Oregon Public Broadcasting is providing a substantial amount of programming for Southern Oregon Public Television. And so they've formed an alliance that was already somewhat underway before the ADDIE talk started. It makes sense to then join the two focal points of those groups together. And they were talking about this as well, too, prior to us formally getting together as a bigger group, so that they can share program material and clips and all sorts of things. The rest of us over there in the east, we've got KSPS in Spokane. We've got the Idaho Public Television group of five stations, which is the total statewide network for Idaho. We've got Montana Public TV, which presently has two stations, but are planning an additional three when they install their digital transmitters. And then we've got Washington State University, who has two stations. So there we've formed a logical group, too, in trying to coordinate these and create a focal point for communications between the other clouds. And this has kind of become known as the distributed architecture. It provides connectivity between all of the different sites in one way or another, and allows us to share all of our assets and resources. So that's a very good thing. We can now, or when this is in place, to what degree it happens, we'll be able to share program material, and perhaps the Oregon group stations will store the Novas, and Seattle will store Masterpiece Theater, and that way everybody doesn't need as large of a facility, and we kind of distribute the assets around the regions. One of the disadvantages of that, though, is that everybody needs to build essentially the same type of facility, just to different degrees. So the next logical step in this project is to create a centralized location. One of the things that we noticed in surveys that we had done amongst all of the stations and a lot of the different people in the stations when we were first starting was that one of the primary things that people wanted out of this project was a centralized library system where people could store materials, people could get materials, and everybody has access to a central library. So that's where the two different models came in, the distributed where it was kind of spread around and the central. So with the central library system in place, then tying perhaps to other central librarying systems around the country, we thought would be a great way for all of the different stations in the country to be able to share program material. So what happened too, though, I mean, we've heard already that there were some issues with control or perceived control or lack thereof or change thereof or whatever. So I was convinced by Dale that we need to kill the clouds, you know, and I think we needed to take away that binding boundary there so that people didn't really feel like they were being taken over. But in essence, you know, that's the furthest thing from what we want. So what the big addy would be is just a point for everybody to connect to. Everybody still maintains all of their uniqueness. They don't have to provide all of their master control facilities. They don't have to concentrate their efforts on a lot of the things that have to do with the content delivery. They can concentrate more on the things that makes them unique in their market and transfer the savings and revenue to those efforts. So what we've come up with, and this is kind of the most recent product of our engineering meetings, was the centralized ADDIE facility diagram, which is just pretty much, well, obviously in the block state at this point, and we're about ready to start trying to drill down on some of the areas here to see where we can assign some sizes and equipment types and so on and so forth. It's really kind of hard to do that too prematurely, of course, because things change so fast that even communications pricing and equipment types and different interoperability issues that are developing and solving themselves as problems seem to be happening just all of the time. But in this model here, let me get the mouse here, the stations are up here. Each individual station connects to the ADDIE, which is bound by this blue line here, with some sort of communications network, and we are presuming that it's going to be fiber terrestrial-based communications. They go into the ingest stations in the ADDIE, which is all revolving around that central library that we were talking about. The ingest stations will be attached to satellite dishes, public telephone networks, have VTRs for when Ralph comes running up with his bicycle, and all of the other formats and mechanisms that might be necessary in order to get local, more local programming into the central library. As well as that, a pretty substantial connection to the PBS Next Generation Network Interconnect, which would then, if there were additional ADDIEs around the country, not only connect to PBS and possibly some of the other distribution networks that provide programming, but connect all of the ADDIEs together too. In order to do that, there's a central core of ADDIE operating systems that will need to be employed here. There's automation, of course. There's a traffic program that would need to sit on top so that the stations, as they're developing their program logs, can send them to ADDIE to be translated to their automation system, which then would grab it from the library, send it through the router, send it through the switcher, do the processing, all automated, add the data, add the PSIP, and send it off to the transmitter. The other part of it is the asset management that would be necessary to keep track of all of the stuff that's on all of the servers and in all of the master libraries would tie in, of course, to the asset management project on the national level. Also tied in at would be the DTV ATP project, which is the traffic and programming project that you're going to hear about a little bit later. All of those things, in order to make a full, rich system, I think are pretty fundamental that they all interoperate. And like we said earlier, it's very important that we all keep communicating together as these projects go along so that we don't wind up creating dead ends for ourselves. So anyway, oh yeah, I see what I did here. I noticed this morning, just before lunch, that I probably diagrammed the wrong thing. And this is actually more of a diagram of the unified field theory. And also today, as I was listening, I was thinking or hearing that, you know, maybe the transmitters aren't the only thing that's out there. Maybe that's not the ultimate delivery point for a system such as this. It could be the homes, or it could be the cable companies, or it could be a combination of all three. Some of the things that we had talked about as far as asset management goes and content delivery is that perhaps all of the local programming for these stations might reside on the local ADDIE or the regional ADDIE. Say the Northwest Station's production material and programs would reside on the Northwest ADDIE. As the need was realized from other stations who wanted those programs, then they would be transferred over to the locations that they needed to be. And that way it wouldn't totally bog down all of the servers with every little bits and piece of things. And servers would still retain somewhat of a distributed architecture with regard to more local inventory. Another thing that would be possible out of this you know, not only for the participating stations, but if the Addies were to become a part of a national effort, was that we would be able to develop here in the Northwest. There's a number of stations, OPB and Idaho and KCTS have done a number of outdoor programs, series that they are putting together, that OPB is working on a project to put together. And it wouldn't be very hard to put together a series of programs that could be offered for 13 or 26 weeks or whatever we, you know, whatever enough content was there that could be used for an alternative programming source that somebody else could get for one of their lower channels or their primary if they'd like, but treat it as kind of like a PBSU or an already program or package service that would be ready to go and somebody could just get it. So I guess Dale's going to get up and talk a little bit about what makes some of this make sense in the financial end of things here. And all.
Thanks, Tom. Actually, what we found in working on several of these projects that what you just saw is the easiest part of doing all of this. The hard part comes when we start talking about the business issues and some of the questions that come up at the station. In the Addie project that we're talking about here, we have involved the traffic people, the programming people, the engineers, the finance people, and the general managers in extensive discussions about how this would all work. One of the first questions that always comes up around the issue of local control is, well, when this thing goes down, which station gets back online first? Who's going to decide that question? So we have to work through a number of those issues. I can tell you without fear of contradiction, I think at this point, that there are significant savings both on the capital side and on the operational side in the digital environment. I know a lot of stations run very lean and mean on master control and other things in the analog world. But when you convert to digital, it will cause an increase in both operating and capital, in some cases a fairly substantial amount, depending on what you're going to do with all those multiple channels that you have. Collaborating with someone else will help reduce the amount of increase that you'll have to spend in converting to digital. There are serious issues around financing this. In this particular example, each station is going to their state legislature, for example. We have not yet determined where the Addie is going to be located, but picture for a minute the legislature for the state of Oregon giving money to be spent to build something in Idaho. Okay. Not a small issue to overcome. So it's serious to look at how we resolve some of these issues. In addition, you've got the question of some stations. Seattle is currently almost converted to digital. We've got other stations that have said we're not converting until the very last minute. So there's a timing question of how do we stage this so that it works for everybody and we can get stations that are already investing in it to include their capital investment in the overall equation for how we build the Addie out over time. There's a lot of questions about local identity, and I want to make it real clear that we're not talking about a common program schedule here. When you do this, the stations retain their local identity, they retain local editorial content over all their programming. It's just a way to move that programming onto the air in a more economical way than has been done in the past. And finally, you know, we come into questions about like labor unions, because when you get a dozen stations here, sure enough, one or two of them are going to have unions and some are not going to have unions. And how do we blend all of those union contract things into an arrangement that will work for everyone? So on the integrating all the business issues is sometimes more difficult than integrating the technical side of things. There are some general benefits, and these are just general observations from having worked on these kinds of projects in three or four different settings now. One is when you move to a multi-channel environment in the future, The benefits are substantial of collaboration. But as Tom pointed out, what we're trying to do is evolve into this, so it's an evolution, not a revolution. This is not something that's going to happen tomorrow for all stations, but it's going to be on a timeline. As some stations go sooner, some go later, we're going to evolve into something that works for all of the stations in this ADDIE. Operating in digital is fundamentally different than analog, and I'm sure you're saying, geez, that's obvious. But as we travel around and talk to a lot of stations, people have not yet converted their mindset from the analog world to the digital world. Some stations are further ahead than others, and they're thinking in terms of capital, but when you get down to how the station operates on a daily basis, a lot of people have not given it a lot of thought about how their station would operate in the digital world. It's fundamentally different than analog. There's a serious issue around retraining the labor force. It's a difficult process and it takes time. Those stations that have done it, and I know of two or three, it's taken more than a year to take the current staff and retrain them to be functional in the digital operating environment. The more collaboration you have, the higher the capital and operating savings. It's real clear. The more standardization you can achieve, the higher the operational savings will be. And we don't advocate in any way that everybody adopt exactly the same operating standard. But the more that you can standardize around, the better off you'll be. In most cases, it's technically feasible to build what Tom just showed you on for the ADDIE up there. But it's the resolving and integrating the business issues that sometimes is a more difficult problem, not the technical issues. If you're interested in creating one of these things, some of the advice I would give you is work with a group of stations in your general geographical area, stations that would be interested in doing this as well. You have to have buy-in at the very highest levels. This has to be a GM or board-driven initiative. It can't be driven by the engineers. Although you play a key supporting role, the GM needs to be the champion for the project. Try to know as much about your own station's digital plans before you approach your business partners. What we find is a lot of stations have only thought about digital in really broad terms, not very specific about where's the program content coming from, what's it going to be, what are we going to run on these four channels. Everybody has some ideas, you know, everybody says, well, we'll just run PBS Kids or something on one of those channels. But they haven't really given a lot of thought, and you have to give it a lot of thought before you can really make decisions about this. Follow a proven process. To put one of these together probably will take 12 to 18 months of a series of meetings between you and other stations that are doing this to work through the business issues I listed earlier, the technical issues that Tom went through, and to design something that works for your benefit. So follow a process like that, something like Tom is doing, that already has been shown to be successful. And be prepared to work hard. It's not easy to do this, but the rewards for doing this kind of a project are well worth it when it comes to the bottom line for your station's operation. And link to an existing ADDIE project like this for support and guidance. That's basically what we wanted to cover. What we wanted to do is to leave time for questions because we wanted to make sure you all had a chance to, because I know a lot of people are interested in this, but we just like to know what the questions are that you might have. If we have anybody that would like to ask anything. Yes, sir.
We started to try to do something like this about 3 years ago in central Illinois. And the biggest problem we ran into was release of control or perceived release of control by the general managers. You know, where's this master control be? And nobody wanted it to be at the other place.
That's right.
How did you overcome what I call the ego factor?
Financially.
Yes. I didn't know GMs had egos. I've heard that rumor a couple of other times, so I'm looking into it. As Tom said, financial is one of the key drivers of the thing. The other thing is the process that I talked about. What we're finding doing this now about three different times is you bring the general managers, the engineers, the finance people together, and you sit down over a series of meetings, the answers will begin to reveal themselves either by how much it costs to locate it in a particular location, what some of the restraints are. Maybe you have a union contract that you can't get out of. There will be a number of variables that will come to bear on this thing. And the answer will reveal itself as you go through the process. That's why you have to follow the process, and that's why it takes so long. There's no book that we can give you and say, here, go forth and do this. We know how to do it, but you have to go to the meetings and you have to sit there and work with the other engineers and the general managers and then do the financial calculations to show where the benefits are, and then the answer will reveal itself.
And another part of that is, you know, participation at every opportunity by all members, I think, is real key. The people that have participated the most frequently in our project have probably bought in the best to it and seen the benefits that it can provide for them, and also have been real strategic in developing the plan that works for more than just a couple of people. I mean, the more people that are there and the more ideas that we get, the better, because we need people that don't like what we're doing to say what they don't like about it, so we can try and find something that does suit their needs. Because it's not the goal just to get a bunch of you, you know, it's a goal to have something that works for everybody. Now, maybe that's unattainable, but that's the goal.
Hi, Randy Ward from Louisiana Public Broadcasting. As we try to standardize the equipment and the processes that we go through this, are there vendors that are already working with the ADDIE project that we can look at while we're here at the show?
Well, we're starting to look at specific equipment. I mean, we think we've come along a certain degree, you know, where we can start looking at specific equipment. We've got some appointments set up during the show, and Andy Butler, who's been working directly with us here and invaluable, you know, needless to say, with his participation in the project. But he published a list that I think, I don't know if there's any copies left, but are of companies that would be able to provide some of these services. It's kind of a wishy-washy yes and no answer there, but we haven't nailed anything down yet. Now, some things are real key, you know. I mean, right now we don't know, or we do know that most servers won't talk to each other, and it was even said, I mean, we've got one of those situations too where the different year one and year two versions of these same servers don't talk. But, you know, that's something that hopefully is going to get worked through with some of these newer initiatives. But if you're thinking about going in early, some key things are, or if you're going to share files, you know, and you don't want concatenation issues with coding and decoding and going back and forth a number of different times, you probably got to get the same type of at least servers.
Yeah, I would hope also that one of the services that can be generated out of this is, as some of that list that I showed early on of stations that are doing it, go off and test different things. Because I know in our experience, we know a couple of stations that have tested a couple of different automation products. Some work a lot better than others, but that there becomes a sort of a knowledge base that people can tap into, like yourself, to say, because as stations have experience with these things, we should get that posted somewhere to a website or something that says, We've now worked with this vendor and they've got good customer service and the product does what it says it's supposed to do, or we've worked with the vendor and they don't have good customer service, so they don't deliver what they're supposed to do, so that everybody has the advantage of seeing what stations that have used some of the hardware and software, that they know what works and what doesn't work. So it gives you a leg up if you're not one of the early adopters of the whole thing. So we'll talk to Andy about doing something like that. Maybe through PBS. There was a question down front here.
Hello, James Mason from KLCS-TV in Los Angeles. I can certainly see that the business plan would be the big problem, because I can see the personnel and the ego factor being a huge thing. Do you see as creating a separate operating company to do something like this, or do you just simply take a few people from each one of the participants and bring them all together in one central location and let them all work together? Or how do you plan and how do you model something like that?
We've done it a couple of different ways so far, and it depends on a couple of critical variables. First, what the participants can live with given their own existing structure, and then secondly, what in the ADDIE's case here, we haven't solved that problem yet, but it'll be dictated somewhat by what state law in four different or five different states is going to allow us to do. So there are four or five different structures that will work, and what will determine for each ADDIE is what works best for that group given the participating stations and what some of their limitations are based on state law or their own operating structure, et cetera. So there's nothing fixed about it. There's more than one way to make it work, and we would try to find the one that works best for any particular group of stations.
And another thing that on top of that, just tied to ego, I was just thinking, is there's that equipment ego thing, I've got to have all of this stuff. We'll have to let go of that too.
Question here.
To me, the way to, the best way to overcome the business issues is, as you suggest, Tom, make it show the compelling financial advantage that overcomes a lot of those. And that's where I struggle the most, because I'm eager to see how that works and under what circumstances it works. Because when I look at this model and think about all the equipment we've installed in St. Paul for our digital station, there's very little of what we've invested in that wouldn't be needed at every station, because it's all about the FCC IDs, the weather crawls, all that gear, the encoding needs to be duplicated everywhere. So where are the savings, and is it only viable where you've got situations where there's relatively high labor costs that you might save, and is it not applicable in situations where some friends of mine use a lot, and a lot of people in this room use a lot of students, where their operating costs are very low? Does it not make sense in those situations?
Two quick examples around that. One place that you can save on the capital side, a quick example, is on the size of the server. If you've got 8 stations, you only have to record Nova once and then it plays back for everybody. You can begin, instead of recording it 8 times. Simple example. That's one way you can save on the capital side. On the labor side, as you go into a multi-channel environment, again, simple example is on the number of traffic people that are needed to do that. A couple of studies that have been done. A station that's going to run 4 channels is probably going to need a minimum of 3 traffic people. A consolidate effort, you can run more channels with fewer people. I'd have to show you the math, but you can do it with fewer people, so it doesn't really involve high labor costs or areas or anything else. It can be done almost any place. I'd be glad to sit down with you and run you through the calculations at some point in time and show you exactly where the labor savings come from. And it adds up very quickly. We were did a quick one at the last meeting. If you had 4 stations that went together and you could just save 1 traffic person a year between them, and if their fully loaded cost was about $50,000 a year, over 10 years, it's $500,000. So a small labor savings adds up to a big number in a fairly over time. So when you look over the life cycle of the project, it adds up quite a bit. Just the 1 to 3 stations that we did, we looked at this in New York, and it maybe not be the best example, but the savings over 10 years was approaching $25 million. So it can be a fairly sizable amount of money.
We visited several weeks ago. Some of the ADDIE core engineering team went to the AT&T Digital Media Center in Denver. And although they operate things on a much larger scale than any of us would ever imagine any of these ADDIEs ever coming to be, and they had different roles for their people, they all performed basically the same function and provided the same type of product. Are we getting the high?
You got the hook here.
Oh, okay. We're almost done. But anyway, just for an example, they had one guy monitoring 108 downlink video signals. So, if you got 108 stations each having a guy doing that, sure, he's doing something else too. But, there's, by the time you get that type of level of consolidation, you can really start to realize some dramatic labor savings.
Our time is up. Thank you very much. We'll be around. If you have any other questions, be glad to answer them.